Holy God, as we journey through the season of Epiphany, may we be open to your revelation in our lives. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as I said, it's a delight to be back with you today. It does seem like a little while since I visited, so it's good to start the new year. In fact, you're my first official church visit for the new year. Mark sends his apologies. Mark's my husband. Some of you will have met him. He is currently the Anglican Hospital Chaplain at Lyle McEwen and Modbury Hospitals, and it's his on-call weekend. So we decided that Campbelltown was just a little bit too far if he got called out. So he sends his apologies, and of course, as you can imagine, he's hoping and praying that nobody does need his services this weekend. Well, the reading set down for today, the second Sunday of the season of Epiphany, or God's revelation to the whole of humanity, are all about call. This pattern of call and response begins in Genesis, when God is walking in the garden looking for Adam and Eve, and it continues throughout the story of God's salvation history. Scripture constantly reminds us that God is the one who calls, and it is our choice to respond. Well, we begin with the story of the call of Samuel. You may remember that Samuel is the much loved and longed-for son of Hannah, and his birth after years of Hannah being barren was an answer to prayer. So devout and desperate was Hannah that she made a pact with God to dedicate her child to God's service. So after weaning him, Hannah gave him to Eli, the high priest, to present to God at Shiloh. Can't imagine what that sacrifice must have felt like after years and years of being barren. Today's passage from the first book of Samuel takes us into the heart of the temple, where Samuel, the child, is sleeping, and he hears a voice calling him. And as we say, the rest is history. The voice was God's. Samuel responded to God's call and became a great prophet and leader. Then we have the reading from Paul's first letter to the people of Corinth. And whilst not specifically about God calling, it reminds us that when we respond to God's call, we have certain responsibilities in the way we live our lives. Because anyone united to the Lord becomes one in the Spirit with him. And the reading from John's Gospel tells us that Jesus decides to go to Galilee and calls Philip and Nathanael. In the very first verse, we are told that Jesus found Philip. Note, Philip didn't find Jesus. Jesus found Philip. And once Jesus finds Philip, he issues a single command. Follow me. And Philip responds. But his response might be surprising to some of us. Did he go on an alpha course? No. Did he join a church? No. Did he get baptized? Well, not in that instant. The first thing he did, according to John's Gospel, was to find his brother Nathanael and tell him about Jesus. So often we think we can't talk to other people about our faith because we don't know enough or we don't know our Bibles well enough. But none of those things matter. We don't need to be theologians to be effective. We just need to be passionate for Jesus, and Jesus will do the rest. I'm not saying knowing your Bible isn't helpful. It just doesn't have to be the first thing you do. So this short and succinct gospel passage has three profound lessons to teach us. Firstly, to be a follower of Jesus means to be found by Jesus. Secondly, to be a follower of Jesus means to tell others about him. And thirdly, to be a follower of Jesus means keeping on going despite the challenges. Because poor Philip, as soon as he makes the choice to respond and to share the good news with Nathanael, the response is anything but encouraging. We hear those words so often quoted disparagingly, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Sometimes when we tell people about Jesus, when we share our faith, when we are met with cynicism or rudeness or apathy, it can be really discouraging. But when it happened to Philip, he didn't try and defend his approach by entering a theological debate about the merits of Nazareth or its place within salvation history of Israel or anything similar. He simply said to Nathanael, "Come and see." And that's all we need to keep saying. Come and see. We simply extend an invitation to come and see and let God do the rest. But herein lies the next challenge, which poses a rhetorical question for us to consider. If people do come and see, what will we show them and what will they experience? The church has entered what I call the season of potential visitors. And it begins before Christmas and it continues until after Easter, the two times of the church year that, despite increasing secularism, still resonate with the wider community. And people visit. For many different reasons, numbers at Christmas and Easter usually reflect this. But do we take it seriously? That is the challenge. When people decide to visit, will there be a warm welcome? I had a conversation with a colleague who recently moved into the diocese and is seeking a new spiritual home. He had visited three churches since his arrival. One visit was on Christmas Day. It's all right, he didn't visit here. He had turned up in everyday clothes. Obviously a visitor, as each of these churches had a smallish congregation. Not one of them had been welcoming. He even had people pass the peace around him, something I've experienced in the past also when I've been visiting. Needless to say, he isn't going back to any of those churches. Hospitality is at the heart of the gospel. So when we get that right, what else might a visitor look for? Because if we don't get the hospitality right, nothing else will register. So if people do come and see and are made genuinely welcome, will they get a sense that God is changing lives? Will they have an experience of worship that enables them to engage with God and not just go through the liturgical motions? Will they go away with a sense of excitement that something is happening here? Is it evident that Jesus is at the heart of all that happens in this community of faith? All good questions to ponder as the church steps into the new year and a new season of ministry. Today's readings, and in particular the gospel passage where Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael, have much to teach us about the nature of hospitality and the nature of discipleship. So as we step into a new year, may we be mindful of God's call. Amen.